The winner takes it all, and this morning the winner is Donald Trump and the Republican Party. A majority of Americans trusted his vision for their country, his promises to tackle the cost of living, secure the borders and more. His message and an often dark analysis of his country cut through, not just to traditional Republican voters, but to undecideds, Latinos and some black working class voters too. He wins the popular vote and the Electoral College. The Republicans also won the Senate and could hold the House. Kamala Harris, in her concession speech, told her supporters, do not despair.
Now I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power. A fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it. At the same time, in our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States.
Kamala Harris in her concession speech there. Let's talk now to Eric Hamm, political analyst with CTV News and AP. Eric, good morning to you. And in the end, this election was not too close to call at all. It was clear from early on, wasn't it, that Donald Trump was forging ahead. He was forging ahead in the swing states. He was going to win the Electoral College and the popular vote. Will you put this victory in context for us?
You know, this was such a stunning and resounding victory for Donald Trump that when you look at the final returns, and given how close the polls show the race was, it was clear that Kamala Harris was never even in the race. It was never a competitive race to begin with. And also what's so striking is Donald Trump as a political candidate had never been able to reach 50% in this country. But what we see in this election is Donald Trump found a new level of political strength with all voters across all sectors, across the entire country. And what we are seeing now is Donald Trump has a mandate going into power. And remember, if you go back to 2016, he lost the popular vote. And of course, we know he lost in 2020. Well, today, Donald Trump is a winner by every standard that you measure when you look at what took place on Tuesday night.
We heard this election was about abortion and reproductive rights. We heard this election was about foreign policy. But in the end, did the economy again, and to use the name, did it trump everything?
I do believe that it did. And quite frankly, I think what we saw was people simply did not. The United States was just not ready to elect a woman as the president of the United States. And we say that because clearly, again, Donald Trump won women and also he won Latino men. And we saw a 33-point swing in Latino men who went for Joe Biden in 2020 overwhelmingly. And then to see those men now go to Donald Trump in 2024, it was just a striking turn of events that took place. And clearly what we're seeing here is Donald Trump could very well end up with all levers of political power. And what this does is it cements Donald Trump's not only his grip on power, but the reorganization and the remaking of the Republican Party, not necessarily as a conservative party, but as this newfound phenomenon that Donald Trump himself has created.
We'll talk further about the soul searching that needs to happen now within the Democrat Party. But just to stay with Donald Trump now and his presidency, the 47th president, back again. He knows where he's going this time. He knows how to operate the levers of power. Who will he surround himself with in his White House?
We are going to see. It's interesting because we know that Donald Trump, when elected the first time to office, he did have a number of establishment people that worked in his administration in those 4 years. Now, of course, there was a lot of turnover, but there were people that were there who were able to calibrate Donald Trump. Well, those people simply will not be in this administration. Donald Trump is going to have people who will not tell him no, who will adhere to all of his whims, all of his wishes. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, because with also control of the Senate, this gives him the ability to simply move all of his political appointments through the Congress with complete ease. And what that means is we could expect potentially two retirements from the U.S. Supreme Court, which will give Donald Trump an unprecedented 5 Supreme Court picks. And of course, we know what we have seen from the Supreme Court with the 3 Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump has already appointed. And so clearly what we're seeing is Donald Trump will have influenced political power and government literally for generations.
And in that first 100 days, indeed, even in that first day when he says he'll end the war in Ukraine, what will you be looking out for?
I'll be looking to see what Donald Trump is actually going to be doing on the issue of immigration. We know Donald Trump has talked about deportations. We know he's also talked about trade wars and tariffs. And we know that is something that Donald Trump likes. And we know how he feels about the border. And so the question becomes, how will Donald Trump respond to border issues and tariffs with one of our biggest trading partners, Mexico? And so that is what I'll be looking for, because I think that's something that Donald Trump can very quickly begin the process of deportations and as well implementing tariffs. And so I think that's something to watch for as soon as he takes the oath of office.
Eric Hamm, political analyst, thank you very much.